Just Measures Radio is on the air.
All systems go.
Path has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, all my friends. Thank you for joining me here in the Tinker's Shop on Just Measures Radio tonight. And as always, tonight is Saturday night, so we're here at the same place and at the same time. And what is it here today? It's the 26th of April of 2014. Yes, been quite a week. Been quite a week. Actually, been quite a day, too. She who must be obeyed had decided that we were going to run around and check out the citywide rummage sale today. So, yeah, we spent probably about, I'd say about 4.5 or 5 hours. So, quite a day. What can I say? Yes, so tonight we're going to be talking about, how would you call it? The burners that are used with LP forges and smelting. So what we'll need to do when we get started here, we'll have to go out to our usual page, out to, you know, arlen-tower.com/tinkershop. And once we get out there, again, as always, we'll have to scroll down to near the bottom of the page, and there will be a link there labeled for today that says burners. So I'll give everybody a few seconds here to click on that to get out there. So my machine's here being a little bit cranky and slow as well. Originally, I was planning for tonight of going ahead and just discussing a little bit more in casting. That kind of ties in with Bobby and John both talked about this week, and also Cope earlier on in the week, about how our Department of Fatherland Security has gone ahead and decided they're going to start buying up the 12-gauge slug and double-aught buckshot. So I was going to do a program here on how to go about and how to cast one's own slugs for, you know, shotguns, and also how to cast the, you know, the double-aught buckshot. But I thought about it and went, wait a second here. I still really haven't covered too much on how to go about and, you know, melt our metals. So that's probably the first thing to do. Of course, 2 weeks ago tonight, I had gone ahead and talked about, you know, how to, you know, smelt aluminum and some other metals by way of using charcoal, you know, air draft forge. I also had mentioned about, or showed a few shots of a person who had used a a turkey fryer to melt lead he was melting aluminum in a Corningware dish. So it's but I really hadn't explained too much about that, so I decided tonight we're just going to do a kind of a quickie overview of LP burners. Let me do this here. I'm going to just take a... I just thought I would go ahead just to kind of take a peek here and make sure that everybody can hear me. No one's yelling about not being able to hear me, so I guess we're good. Okay, so out here on the page here, LP burner overview. Up here at the box here at the top, I've also put a few more links in this particular page. You have the first one says RonReelAbana.org in design. This is where he was talking about the Mongo burner. Next one down is from kcruciblewordpress.com. And then there's another one from backyardmetalcasting.com. And all three of these have some pretty good advice, pretty good tutorials on, you know, building, you know, burners and such. And then, of course, I did have another link here that I was going to put on the other page, and I didn't get to it last week. So this is another, like it has here, another charcoal smelting forge video. And this is where a guy had just really done a real quick and dirty, well, I guess you'd say a quick and dirty smelter for, you know, melting aluminum. He used, in that video, he actually used a tin can, like you'd get, you know, peas in or whatever. Of course, I don't think he realized it, but that would probably be pretty much of a one-use crucible. But my suggestion on something like that is probably one should use, if they have nothing else, a small stainless steel salad bowl or mixing bowl. For what it's worth. Anyway, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go run through all four different standard LP burners. And then I'm going to go ahead and show you the pictures of one that I had made, which is a variation on one of them that was, or that I'm going to talk about. Okay, so the first one here, this is Ron Reel's original Mongo burner, which kind of a Mongo meaning big. And this particular one, see here, trying to remember here, it was, you know, a fairly good size. This used, like, I believe, this is a 1-inch diameter also, but he actually had a couple of them that were about 3 inches diameter. Those you could darn near melt an engine block with. But again, they have basically all a very similar format. Like on this particular one on to the left, you have what's called a flare. That's used to spread your flame out somewhat, so that the flame does not put itself out. Then you have your basically your burner tube. Next, on Reel's design here, he used a pipe reducer and actually making a bell out of it. And then through that bell, you can see that what he did was actually mount basically a piece of 1/8-inch pipe that has a little teeny tiny hole drilled into it. This particular one he used a number 60 drill, and what's done is that hole is rotated around so it's pointing straight down the burner tube, and then basically you lock the thing in place and you feed gas into there and it's ignited. It's a pretty simple, pretty basic design. You know, it's got, what, 6 parts to it. Or, yeah. The flare, the tube, the bell, the pipe, and then clamps to hold it on. Okay, next down on here. This is a gentleman by the name of Rupert Wenigs, and he designed a mini Mongo burner. And again, it's pretty much the same sort of thing, same sort of flow. And again, you have your, in this case, so the pipe comes in and the end cap instead of just open air. And it uses a jet made out of a brass plug, which is drilled out to with the number 56 drill. Now, number 56 and the number 60 are really tiny. So, it's they're easily broken. I can tell you that from experience. On the Mini Mongo, he actually had gone ahead and drilled, you know, four holes. And if you'll note, those holes are basically lined up with the end of where the jet is at. That, when you start feeding gas under pressure in through the pipe from the left going to the right, that actually, since it's under pressure, it's going to be creating an airstream going down. It'll suck air in the holes and basically mix and are able to ignite down at the far end. Okay. Next one here. This one here is a side, what's referred to as the sidearm burner. And the reason they call it that is, if you scroll down just a hair more and be able to see the diagram and the photo, you can see why they call it a sidearm. It looks like a sidearm, like a pistol. And again, you have your fuel pipe coming through the end in the cap with a nozzle or a jet on there. And this particular one looks like it used a... my eyes aren't functioning too well. Looks like you can't tell if it's a 60 or a 69, which is even smaller. But again, this is how they work. And I should... And actually, this particular one actually is somewhat longer than the other ones. The reel, Ron Reel's design. He used an 8-inch pipe nipple with a flare on it, which is about an inch and a half long, which brought it out about 9.5 inches. The Mini Mongo, that used one that's a little over 10.5 inches long from the jet to the end. And then here with the sidearm burner, this is actually probably the longest one. The pipe that's on that is 12.5 inches, plus you have about another half inch, so you're talking 13 inches beyond the jet. That's a pretty long one. These sidearm ones work really good for, like, how would you call it? Oh, a smelting bucket. You can actually make a bucket with lined with refractory cement where this would protrude through in the side at the bottom, so you get like a tornado type activity with your heat coming up. That's where the length is good on this. Also on this photo here for the sidearm burner, you can see a little bit better on this where they have a little, you know, choke assembly, a little flapper in there to restrict your airflow. You can do that and use that to help adjust your flame to have a better, cleaner flame. And on the left side of the photo here, you can see where the piece of 1/8-inch piping comes out, and it has a reducing coupler there to where they have a propane hose that comes from your propane or your LP source, which is fed in at that point. Most of these usually work between, I'd say anywhere from about 8 to 15 pounds of pressure. Your average gas grill, when you're using a 20-pound tank on that, it usually runs right around maybe 1, at most 2 pounds depending on the regulator they have with it. So to work with one of these burners for a gas forge, what you'll need to do is get another regulator. And when we get all the way just about done with this page, I'll show you a setup that I use. And these other people use a very similar setup. Okay, so now, next point here. I've got a couple drawings here, and this is from the BackyardMetalCasting.com site. It's the Oliver burner, and the guy's first name, I'm not sure what it is, but his last name's Oliver. And this is his variation. And again, it's kind of like a cross blend between the original Ron Reel type burner and the sidearm burner, and actually the Mini Mongo as well. In this case, what he's done is he has his burner pipe here, and again, he used a 3/4 inch black iron pipe or black steel pipe, 7 inches long, and he's actually got, you know, measurements in here, you know, how big a hole is and how far apart. It's actually been found since that he came up with this design that these holes aren't as necessary as he thought, but they still can be put in to help with a little bit of airflow. The next picture down here is the fuel injector pipe, and again, this is where your LP gas comes in, like on the threaded end up here. That's where your hose would be affixed. And if you look close at this, you can see where there's another little teeny hole that had been drilled through on the pipe. You know, they got kind of a blow up here. This one here used the number 57. So like I said before, you know, it's, you know, they run anywhere in these first few, anywhere from 57 to number 69 drill bit. Again, it's a variable. Part of what the thing is if you go way larger than that, you're not going to get as much pressure, so you aren't going to get as intense a flame coming down. If it's too small, obviously it'll be a short, really hot flame, which again, you don't want to have happen, because it'll be burning inside your pipe rather than out at the tip. So, now, yes, next picture down here is, an actual Oliver burner, where he'd actually set it up as for a test burn. And this actually has a flare installed on the end of it, which again would bring it out to, like I said, usually these flares are about 1.5 inches long, so that brings it out to roughly 8.5-9 inches. And that's, you know, usually a good length. With the 3/4 inch pipe by roughly 9 inches long, you get basically the optimal mixture of both air and your LP gas. The flare, again, helps spread the flame out, because if it just is coming out of a straight pipe and hitting, you know, normal atmosphere, it's got sharp edges there where it can kind of basically jitter the flame back and forth because it's high pressure and going to atmospheric. So with the flare on the end, it's just slightly flared. It's like 1 in 12 inches. You know, if it was 12 inches long, you'd get 1 inch larger. So it's not a lot of flare, but it's enough to where it starts spreading the gases, so you get a good, basically a rocket-type flame. Okay, so next photo down here. And these will... After I get through these next two here, I'll be going ahead, putting some music in, and maybe do a commercial or two. Okay, so here's this next picture here is of an Oliver burner. And again, you know, without any gas going through it or anything. And as you can see, you got your holes in there for the airflow. Your pipe coming through and with it capped on one end. Other side goes out and over where it's attached with your fuel line. So, next, we go down here, one more photo here. And between these two photos, on the one above, you can see where this set screw is at. And then, again, this is an end view. And again, you have a set screw here. And what it is the hole for the gas is directly opposite of the viewer here. It's down on the long pipe side. And the gas is just basically jetted down the tube. And once you have it pretty well centered, then they just go ahead and tighten the set screw just a hair. And it's basically ready to go. Okay, so I'll tell you what. At this point here, I've been talking here for about 20 minutes without even taking a sip of anything, so I should probably go ahead here and do a little piece of music. And we'll see where we go from there. So, this is Sean Tyrell and City of the Dreamers. Enjoy.
The children, they play. For a dreamer, he'll live forever, and a thinker will die in a day. But pity for the burden that the rich endure. For there's nothing sweet in the city save the patient lives of the poor. The little hands too skillful and the child mind choked with weeds. A daughter's heart that's grown willful, and a father's heart that bleeds. No, from the streets, rude bustle, from the trophies of mart and stage. I would fly to the woods, low rustle, and the meadows kindly paid. Let me dream as of old by that river, and be loved for the dream always. For a dreamer, he'll live forever, and a spoiler will die in a day.
Oh, wow, that one ended up fast. My apologies, you know, for the dead air here. Why don't we do this? I want another piece of music. I'm kind of in a music mood at this moment. It's Mark Gunn, star of the County Down.
In a Pembridge town, County Down, one morning last July, down a pouring green, she passed me by. Well, she looked so sweet from her two bare feet, the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing elf, I shook myself to make sure I was really there. From Pantry Bay up to Denny Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I have seen sweet Colleen that I met at the County Down. She onward sped, she shook my head, I looked with a feeling rare. And I said, says I, to passerby, was the maid with the nut brown hair. Well, he smiled at me, and with pride says he, as the gem of old Ireland's crown. She's young Rosie McCann, the banks of the band, she's the star of the County Down. From Pantry Bay, Eddie K, and from Galway to Dublin town,
near and dear to the charms of young Rose and McCann. I had a heart to let her go ten, and yet to see in shawl or gown. But in she went, I asked no rent from the star of the county down. From Pantry Bay up to Kitty Kay, up to Galway to Dublin town. So maid I've seen, sweet Colleen that I met at the county down. Fair, I'll be surely there. I'll dress in my Sunday clothes, my shoes shone bright, my hat cocked right, for a smile from my nut brown rose. No pipe I'll smoke and no versatile yoke, though thrust my plow turns brown. Still a smiling bride by my own fireside, the star of the county down. From Pantry Bay, I've seen the sweet Colleen that I met at the county down. From Pantry Bay up to Dandy Cay, from Galway to Dublin town. The maid I've seen like a sweet Colleen that I met at the county down.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a grade above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Kristen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchased, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. FK Kristen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Okay, well, I'm back. I noticed that was getting close to the bottom of the hour there, so I figured it was time to get a station ID and commercial in there. So, anyway, yeah, it's been quite a day. Like I'd said, you know, there was a question here in the chat room if I found any good sales today at the rummage sales. And I did. I found a sawtooth set. That's a tool that's used to basically crimp the teeth on your saw, handsaw. You can sharpen them, and then after you get through sharpening them, you need to set them all so they're all at the correct angle, you know, both left and right of the center line. If you have a bunch of them off kilter to one side and a bunch straight up and down, your cut's not going to go straight. So that's what that's for. I'd also picked up a dowel setting tool. This is actually used for like putting dowels in the legs of like a chair or a table. And you basically can drill your hole in the one piece. It's centered, and you can do the same with the end piece. And then when you assemble it, you put some glue in the hole, put the dowel in, then you can push the pieces together, and it'll hold. It's kind of a neat thing. And I did pick up something else, too. Sometimes you can find some odd stuff at a rummage sale. I actually found one guy who had a Makita drill, a Makita, what would you call it? almost like a plunge saw, like a saber saw type thing. But these are run off of batteries. He also had a charger for them. His batteries had all died, so he just said, ah, to heck with it, I'm going to sell it. So I got probably about $40 or $50 worth of power tools for $5 today. And right now I got my batteries charging up out here to work them. So I think it was a pretty good investment. And also someone else had mentioned, Minnie had mentioned about saving all sorts of info. Yeah, one of these days I have to go through and sort all my bookmarks again and start printing off stuff as well. Had a pretty good deal a few weeks back with Staples. I mentioned it here in the chat room and let people know at that time Staples had a pretty good deal on where they basically you could buy a case of 5 reams of paper for, I can't even remember how much it was, but with their instant rebate and their mail-in rebate, it came out as free. So I went over and bought 2 cases of paper, and it didn't cost me a penny. So, you know, it's, 10 reams of 500 sheets apiece, so I'd pretty well be able to do in a printer cartridge, or a toner cartridge, I should say. Okay, so, you said you didn't know you could sharpen a saw. Yeah, you can. The saws I was talking about are like the ones like, the hand crosscut saws. They probably have a blade on them, probably about 2.5 feet long, 6 inches high at one end, going down to about 2.5 at the other end, the wooden handle. Type used for, cross-cutting 2x4s or cutting branches off of trees and whatnot. And so it's, like I said, it's kind of a nice tool. Most of the time, most people just, if you get one tooth that's bent real bad, you can just take a, needle nose pliers or something, kind of, tweak it back in shape. But the set just, so it looks like a pliers. You basically just slide it on there, clamp it on, and just give it a tweak, and it just bends it right to the right angle. Pretty neat. Okay, so now, let's see here. What should I do? That's right. I should go back here to my page where I was talking about burners. So, I've got another big text block in here. And this is basically a letter I got from Jerry Frost, also known as Frosty. He's the one who had the design up above, for the sidearm burner. He'd come up with that design originally. And like I said, the sidearm burner has kind of fallen out of favor because it doesn't mix as well as it should. It works well enough, but there's constant improvements in these things as people go on. And so that was probably back in about 2002 or maybe 2004 that he came up with the sidearm design. Anyway, like I was saying, this is a letter I'd gotten from Jerry, where he basically explained to me how he builds his a tea burner. And again, it's uses similar components to the sidearm one. The sidearm one, you basically ended up with an L-shaped type of thing. Well, the tea burner, the T coupling, instead of going in one side of the T coupling coming out the other with an air intake coming out of the third one, the way the T works is the two sides are left open, and you can put like a little banjo fitting on there to control the airflow. And then your gas tube actually goes in on the rounded side at the top. You drill a hole through it and it points down. You get a better mix of air for it. And so this is pretty much, the whole instructions that he gave me for it and, the story behind it and whatnot. But this particular one he used, like he says in here, the burner tube is an 8-inch long piece of 1-inch diameter black iron pipe. Well, outside diameter 1-inch gives you 3/4 inch inside. The T is a 1-inch by 1-inch by 1-inch black iron T fitting. And I missed the line when I was copying this over. He also talked about having a piece lamp tube, basically. That'll be used like in a lot of the fancy swag lamps. And it originally came from a gas lighting. So we're kind of returning it back to its original use. It's probably about a 2.5 or 3-inch piece of it. And what it looks like is a piece of 1/8-inch pipe that's threaded the whole way up. Instead of having, you know, pipe threads on each end, it's threaded the whole way. And this uses a jet that's from a MIG welder, a gas welder. And it's noted here that it's a 45/1000ths of an inch. Yeah, that's the hole through it. And what a person does is you shorten it up a hair. Of course, you don't have to. But this is like his original instructions. So, but he has, you know, like I said, he had the whole set of instructions on here, and you know, with his hints and all that. Unfortunately, I lost the original pictures he had sent me, and I just dug this out of an email. Again, this is probably back in about 2007, I think it was. And but it's still good information. So let's see here. And he claims here that he could actually build one of these in about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Took me a little bit longer than that, but I managed it. So with that said, why don't we go ahead and do this? We'll go down here just to the next section here where I've got it labeled my 2 Frosty Burner Forge. This is actually the gas forge I use for all my smithing. And I can actually take these jets right out of here and, you know, run them horizontally if I so choose. And that's kind of the nice thing with this. You know, it can be taken out and moved around. And like I said, this is pretty much the same thing as the sidearm burner, except the sidearm burner only has 1 air intake with it, but it still works. So, again, like I said, this first shot here, it shows, you know, the dual burners I use and those banjo paddles. I didn't know what else to call them, so that's what I'm referring to them as. So just a little bitty piece of sheet metal that I cut, you know, basically into a little bit more of an oval with a little tab on the end. Drilled one side and then drilled a small hole and tapped it into the T fitting. When I mounted the things, I used a small spring in there. So it's just kind of, you know, spring loaded with the screw. So the paddles stay in position. Excuse me for just one second here. Yeah, I love the cough button we have now. Okay, so if we go down to the next shot here, again, this is a little bit better view of the two burners. But up above there, you can see where I have my piping, where they come together. I feed both burners with a single line coming from my regulator. And, you know, it's all done with, standard piping. So if we go down a little bit more here, you can see a better view of the manifold. Again, it's just a small T, couple of elbows, some close nipples, and same thing going in the other direction. And if you look real close there at this, at the bottom of that picture, you can see the two tubes or lamp pipes there going into the top of the T's. And if you go down here just to the next picture, and again, it was kind of hard to get a shot here because to get close enough and moved around, you know, it's kind of facing the light, so it's a little bit blurry. But again, this is where I kind of did a variation on what he did. Jerry had used his lathe and drill press setup to, you know, bore his holes through. Well, since I have a pretty decent drill press, what I did was I actually took the T and basically, you know, put it on its bottom end there, and then centered and drilled down through it to where, let's see, well, basically, I drilled the hole slightly undersized, and let's see here, I'm just going to get my measurements correct here, because I know I, okay, yes, needed to drill it out. Okay, so this is a 1-inch straight pipe tap. He used an 1/8-inch tapered tap. I was lucky enough to have a straight one around. And the straight one uses a hole that's just under 1/4 inch diameter. And so, you know, once I had the proper size hole drilled there, I was able to tap it. I tapped it all the way through. And that would allow me to turn that lamp pipe down into the hole, you know, just to double check it. Once I had that done where it would fit, then I took it back out and put a brass cap on the end of that piece of pipe, you know, just to double check it, make sure it fit good. Once I was sure it fit properly, then I took it back off and drilled a 1/4-20 hole through the brass cap, and then I threaded it to where it would fit the Miller MIG tube in there. That pretty well made sure everything was aligned in there straight. But so once I had it in place, then I went ahead, put Teflon tape, you know, used gas quality Teflon tape, put it on the end of the lamp tube, put the brass cap on, tighten it up, and then I reached up through the bottom of the T and ran it through the hole from the bottom until it came out like it's showing in this picture where I said call it a lamp tube. At that point, I was able to go ahead and start putting my manifold together. And obviously what I had done is, you know, made 2 units, you know, because I was building a double one. And, you know, got them cranked up, put it together temporarily to test it, you know, put my 8-inch black iron pipe on the bottom end of the T, put that together, and literally clamped it in the vise, just like the picture up above with the Oliver, and ran LP gas through it and lit it. I was able to check and see what the flame looked like, and with that extra threading that I had protruding through, I was able to adjust it in and out until the flame was coming out and looking really good coming out of the working end of it. Okay, so, and again, I'll just go back up here a little bit to where the manifold is at. Again, once these the lamp tube was put through the T and the rest of it was assembled, then I went ahead and put the elbows on and the close nipples in the other T and just basically assembled it. I used about a 1-foot long piece of an 1/8-inch pipe that went down and back. back used as support to hold it so everything would stay in place. You know, this is kind of like hints of how I had made it. Of course, everybody's setup would be different, you know, depending on how you build something. But for this being a fixed installation that I was using, I built a bracket there to hold it and also to protect the gas line, because I wanted to keep the reinforced neoprene line for the gas line. You know, I wanted to keep it away from the fire a little bit more. So, let's see here. Oh, gee, we're at 12 minutes of the hour already. Well, we don't have a whole lot here to go yet, so I'll run through these, and then we'll just put some more music on and let people enjoy it for the evening. Okay, so the next picture down here, I'd mentioned, I'm going to come back one moment here, with the MIG chip, where it's installed, you can see that little banjo fitting in here. You can see a little bit of the spring as well. That's kind of how I assembled it. Okay, and I think what I should probably do is just take a peek here in the chat room. Okay, just is going to take a quick look here just to see if was any particular questions on this. And I don't see any, so it must be being clear as mud. Okay, so let's go back here to, I'll go back here to the webpage. Okay, the photo here below the, where I haven't talked about the MIG chip being installed, this is actually the regulator setup I use. It's got a, you know, pressure gauge on there, and again, it's a regulator with a little knob at the bottom, so I can adjust how much pressure is coming through. Because if you just have the pressure straight from a LP tank, whether it be a 100-pounder or a 20-pounder, if you try running that straight, you're never going to get it to light, because that's coming out of there probably at about 75 or 100 pounds. Way too strong. It'll blow itself out. So, like I said, I bring the gas in from outside through the wall. Again, it's all sealed with Teflon tape, gas-proof Teflon tape. Where it enters the building, I have a shut-off valve on there before it gets to the regulator. After the regulator, I have another shut-off valve just to make sure, you know, for the backflow. And then on this picture, you can see where they have the secondary shut-off valve. And again, it comes over to the right, up, and out. And that's all, basically, it's all fixed rigidly to the wall. And I use a quick disconnect, again, in case I ever have to move anything around. And then from where the quick disconnect is, it goes on over to the burners by way of the hose. And this particular gauge here, I can actually, if I would crank that thing all the way open and have the valve shut, I could probably, you know, have the gauge run up to about 70 pounds. Again, I never used it that high. About the highest I've ever run it is at about 30 pounds. And even then, that's pretty iffy. I've actually had to just use my ball valve here just to, you know, kind of control it a little bit. So, okay, so now, yeah, if we go down to the next shot here, it shows where I have the outside connection of that regulator and valve assembly, where it's outside the wall and it's hooked up to a 100-pound LP tank. And actually, this other thing that you can see in the front, that's the second LP tank. I keep two of them all the time. One's always full, the other one's being used. It's probably way much overkill, but I'm the guy who wears both belt and suspenders, because I like to be able to, when I want to go out and fire up the forge and work on it, I want to make sure I have gas there. Okay, so now we'll go down to the next shot here. Again, this is another shot of another ball valve. And again, this is a disconnect here to where it can be, disconnected. And this particular setup is where I have it running to my two-burner antique gas stove that I use for melting also used the same stove to melt lead, in a pan, because I've got quite a few lead pucks I've made in the past and saved. So if I need a small quantity of lead for filling something, I can actually heat it up on that stove in a stainless steel pan. And again, last shot here, that's a 20-pound LP tank, again, with a quick disconnect. Technically speaking, that photo is showing a no-no, because it's actually has an LP cylinder inside of a building. Your better bet is to keep the LP tanks outside. But again, this is basically shown just for illustration purposes, how things go together. So that pretty well does it for the quickie overview of burners for for metalworking and for smelting materials. So next week I'll probably go ahead. If anybody has any questions, they can go ahead and send me an email. Oh, that's right, I forgot to mention. On the front page, where we all come in, I'm going to just go ahead and switch back over to that one right now, so I can make sure I got the description proper. Back on our main page, the Welcome to the Tinker Shop page with Earth, Air, Fire, and Water on. If you go down to the bottom of that first paragraph area, I've actually put a new link in here. It's where I just say, if you ever want to send me an email, go ahead and click here, and that'll actually take you out to basically a contact page to where you can put your name on there or your handle and your email address, and if you have any questions or comments, you can just type them there in the box and hit submit, and it'll send it to me. So anyway, so that's that stuff. And what I should do now, because it's like 5 minutes till the hour, I think I should probably put one more nice piece of music in here. And then, after that, we'll be going to the archives. So, this is another Irish-themed piece of music. And it's called Cruel Sister, and it's from The Shams. So again, everyone, thank you very much for joining me here in the Tinker Shop for April 26th of 2014. I'll be back next week, obviously. Same time, same place. Here in Just Measures at 9:00 Central Standard Time. So for the week, take care, God bless, and be well. And here's some music.
Lived a lady by the North Sea shore. Played a band, did a bonny broom. 2 daughters were the barn she bore. Fa la 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 la. One was as bright as is the sun. Played a band, did a bonny broom. So cold black good, the elder one. To be their word. Fa la 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 la. He courted one with the gloves and rings. Played a band, did a bonny broom. But he loved the other above all things. Fa la 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 la. Sister, sister, won't you walk with me? Played a band, did a bonny broom. And see the ship sail upon the sea.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
And as they stood on that windy shore.
Played a band, did a bonny broom.
The elder sister was the younger o'er.
La 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 la.
Sometimes sometimes she's psych or sometimes she's flop. Did a bun, did a bunny broom. Christ, sister, reach to me your hat. La 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 la. There she floated just like a swan. Did a bun, did a bunny broom. Just all she carried her body on. La 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 la. Walk by the North Sea shore. Did a bun, did a bunny broom. And saw the maiden on the float to land. La 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 la. They made a harp out of her breastbone. Did a bun, did a bunny broom. And sound of which would make a harp of stone. La 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 la. Three locks of her yellow hair. Played a band, played a bunny broom. And with them strong, their hearts so rare. La 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 la. Minstrels tried. Play the band, play the bunny broom. And tear her seas, the black hair bright. La 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 la. The second string played a doleful sound. Play the band, play the bunny broom. The younger sister, oh she is crowned. La 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 la. Bursting it beneath their bow. Play the band, play the bunny broom. And surely now her tears will flow. Fa la 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 la.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medic Chalet, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medic Chalet, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.